everybody. And today on this episode, we are going to be talking about inspiration. And especially, we're going to be talking about the muse today and whether or not you have ever had a muse or that form of inspiration. So what do you think, Kim?
Well, you know, that's something that's been talked about a lot throughout all of arts and culture, is having a muse, having this like almost something outside of your body. And I never really paid attention to it. I did not think I had one. I thought it was all coming within me. I felt very protective of my art. Like it was, you know, me thinking of all these things. And then I read this book, Big Magic. I think we've talked about it a couple of times. Have you read this book?
I have not read this book, but we were talking about it and you said, hey, that's just like in this book, you know, whatever our subject was, there's been a couple different things we touched upon with it. So it sounds like something that I would like to read.
You got to read it, because she really dives into the idea of inspiration, and she kind of presents it as there's like these kind of like the thoughts and the ideas that are in the world, that they're almost their own beings. Which I have another friend who believes in this too, which I love, that there's like multiple ways of thinking of this. Like the ideas themselves are using us as conduits to replicate themselves. And so then the inspiration visits you as an artist or a poet or an inventor. And in fact, she talks a lot about how different inventors, you know, they always have the same inventions at the same time, which is kind of, it's creepy, you know, like to the second.
Yeah. So that touches upon, because I haven't read the book, so I don't know if she goes into this or whatever, but my experience with that would be talking about the collective unconscious.
Yes.
Where people kind of get this inspiration all at the same time. And that's what gives birth to movements, you know, when everybody's sort of in agreement of we all need to be doing this thing or feeling this way or thinking this way all at the same time. And that seems to move things in direction, different directions and things like that.
Well, if you've ever, yeah, that's exactly it. And then if you've ever had this, I bet most people have had this in a really small form where you're just doing something, you're just working throughout your day and you have a little tune come to your head and it's a new tune. It's just a little like do, 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 do. And your brain's like, what is that? And you just kind of hum it. And if you're a musician or a composer, you will then go make a whole thing based off that little do 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 do. But most people have had that where like it's like a little tickle, you know. And if you start paying attention, that happens a lot with all kinds of things. You can get whole paragraphs, whole pictures in your mind. So I want to ask you, have you had any experiences? Have you had a muse or these inspirations come visit you?
To be honest, I can't say that I really have had a sort of the only thing I can think of, and it's not an inspirational story, but the one time that I told you, I talked about, I was outside painting. This was back in the time when I painted every day and sold paintings every single day on eBay. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to paint one day, come up with an idea. And I started playing with metallic gold, and I bought all these different shades of metallic gold, but I had this one particular one that I wanted to just try to work with. And I made these backgrounds of dark brown, and then I mixed up this metallic gold and I put it on, but it wasn't working. It was very pale. The metallic part wasn't showing through. And I started doing this very simplistic piece. For me, it had almost no color in it. The texture wasn't really there. It was just kind of like making a big circle in the middle with a little bit of medium and stuff like this. And I was miserable about this piece. I was just like, I wanted to throw it in the garbage. I was like, I don't know what I just made. It's horrible looking. I don't know how I'm going to fix this. It's just so bad. And it had no focal point. It had no color. It had just nothing going on. And it was so funny because we were very connected, you know, and we still are at different times when we're selling things online, but your day would compose of like, you know, you might go out and set something up, and while you're waiting for it to dry, you'd come in and you would check your auctions and you'd check your messages and stuff. Then you'd go back out and do it. So you're kind of back and forth. So that day I went and I came inside because I didn't know what I was going to do with this stuff. And I'm checking my messages. And this woman had written me, and she was like, can you, I want this piece, you know, she's like, can you, and all my stuff, remember, all my stuff was, you know, red, fire related. If it wasn't that, it was textured, it was earth tones, it was all this type of thing. And she's like, oh, I just want something that's this simple, like a buttercream with, you know, earth tones and all this type of stuff. And I'm sitting there shaking my head going, why are you looking at my work and thinking I would, that doesn't sound like anything that's visible on my site, you know?
Right.
And I thought, you know, and I wanted to just tell her, no, I don't do that or whatever. And then I thought, and I really kind of wanted to scare her away.
Yeah.
So I had images of this piece I had just finished. And I was like, this is really going to scare her away. So I said, well, the closest thing I have to that is this. And I showed her the images and I thought she would just be horrified.
Right.
And she's like, that's perfect. And that it was at that moment, like a lightning bolt. I'm like, oh my God, I painted this for you.
Mm-hmm.
I painted this for you. You were somehow looking at my stuff or finding me somehow, or somehow psychically we've connected today. And you made me paint this.
Oh, I love it.
For you. And literally, I mean, it wasn't even dry basically. And it was already sold and ready to be shipped and stuff. And it was the most horrible, embarrassing thing.
But she loves it. I bet you she still loved it.
I guess, you know, I never heard anything different, you know, once she got the piece. And but that was it. She was looking, and that's, you know, she couldn't find it anywhere. And this is what she wanted. This is what she needed for her space. And, you know, so in that way it was good. I've had that happen occasionally where I don't really feel it as a muse. I feel it as a tug of war, you know, to where I'll be saying, oh, I have this vision in my head and I'm going to sit down and paint this thing. And I start going and it's almost like something is almost grabbing your hand,
yeah,
and pushing it in a different direction and just fighting you the whole time. And you're going, this is turning out terribly, you know, this isn't anything like what I have in my head. And then eventually you'll get it done and you'll be like, I don't understand. And then later you meet the person that goes, oh my God, that's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted and stuff. And you'll realize that something else was at play that was literally almost controlling your body, your mind and your skills and everything you were doing and pushing you to create this piece for somebody else, because it was somebody else's inspiration or somebody else's desire. And you were the conduit for that piece, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like I haven't had a pleasant experience with the piece.
Yeah. It sounds like you've got a lot of resistance to the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's an issue. Maybe I need to be more free of, you know, once that starts happening and you feel it happening, be like, okay, something's happening here. Let me just take a deep breath. Let me stop fighting it. And let me just really go with what's happening.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because when I was reading her book, it made me just change my perspective on what already happens to me in my process. I get ideas all the time and I write them down in little books and I sketch them out. I mean, I've got decades worth of paintings that I could pull from. But the funny thing is, I always thought those were, you know, my own brain noodlings. But now that she mentioned it, I was like, no, she's onto something, because if I don't attend to it right away, it loses its pull. So if I write it down and sketch it and then I don't give it the time, it literally is just, I still have the sketch and my brain is kind of like, oh yeah, it's a good idea. But that pull, that feeling of like, I must make it, is just gone. And she talks about that a lot. And it kind of released me from some of my fear of making art, because if it's not my idea, I can't be embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
If it's inspiration, a muse visiting me, then I can just do, oh, sure. I'll paint that for you. Well, and the funny thing is, I'm in the middle of this right now and I've stopped battling, like what you're talking about. I've had this whole year has been outside of my control. The whole stinking year, every painting that I have touched has gone a different direction than I thought it would. Like some of them wildly, nothing but weird colors, textures, shapes that I've never seen. I have no idea what's happening. And I'm just like rolling with it. I'm just swiping and I'm like, ooh, look at that's wild. Okay. And I'm like along for the ride. I'm just like the hands of the universe, like flopping around. And it's been so much fun. And there's a whole movement of intuitive painting where people do that. They'll just kind of chill out and then they'll just go swash paint around and a beautiful things happen. So I've been having a great time with that. I've been really into the abstract. And then now I've been pulled into a very strange direction. And I'm just like, how did I get here? This is so interesting. Cause I had the one commission and I did some body positive art and I resisted that one cause it pulled me back into realism. And I whined and I complained a lot. I apologize to anyone listening. I did a lot of whining. I'm very, very sorry. I'm very pleased with it now. And I'm glad I did it. Cause immediately after, a new idea literally popped into my head of some figures, like a female figure kind of bound up in rope. And then like kind of these swirling things around and the rope was gold. And I kind of was like, huh, okay. I was entertaining the idea. I hadn't pushed it away, but I sketched it down and it kind of just kept tickling my, it feels like something like tickling your ear. And I was just like, yeah, you really want to be painted, huh? Okay. Okay. And then I went and tried to get a canvas for it and I couldn't find the canvas that I wanted. So I was like, well, I guess it's not supposed to be painted. Ha ha. And I was going to be done. And then I went to a little show at a local theater. My friend introduced me to the theater owner, or I think she runs the theater. And she goes, oh, you're an artist. I really need three pieces, big pieces. I need them in like 2 weeks. Can you do that? And immediately that idea like sprang to the front and was like, it's me. That's me, paint me. And I was like, yes, I can do that. And then that thing happens where all the synchronicities click up.
Yes.
I said, what size do you want? She wanted these really big canvases, my favorite. It's like 36 by 48, my favorite size right now. I went online, I found them for 50% off with a 20% off coupon.
Oh, wow.
They had only three in stock and everything just was like flying. It just was coming to me. Everything I needed was coming to me. The ideas haven't like it's evolved since then. It was like, let's do yellows. And I started with yellows and it was like, I want yellows, purples, and orange. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And I swear this little idea is just bossing me around and I'm here for it. I don't have to make barely any decisions. I'm just like, okay, sure. That's what you want. Sure. Yeah, we can do that. We can totally do that.
That's funny. That's great. That's great. Well, I feel like right now I'm kind of feeling like you had to go through an evolution to be able to accept that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a year ago, let's say a year ago, 2 years ago, before you started doing kind of the free, you know, where you really freed yourself, started doing abstracts and all this other type of stuff. If someone had approached you in your realism phase with this idea or with, you know, can you do this in 2 weeks? Can you do this? Whatever the case may be. Would you have been open to it at all?
Not at all. I would have said, no, no way. I don't want to make art like that. For one, it's really personal. Now that I'm in it, it's kind of about how I feel with like feminism, how I feel as like a woman in a woman's body, like how, you know, the world kind of makes us second class citizens and we still don't get paid the same. We still, you know, have to fight for like equal healthcare rights, you know? So it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy. It's got all this meaning behind it. And it's like this therapy out loud, which I love, but at the same time, super vulnerable. It's my body that I'm painting on three giant canvases.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Super vulnerable. I wasn't planning on doing that, but then I was like, well, I need these three poses. And I'm like looking around and I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to do these three poses.
Wow. That is a real evolution.
And it was funny. Juan reminded me, my partner, because he said the same thing. He said, would you have done this a couple of years ago? And I was like, no. And he goes, you remember? You had a very similar idea like this visit you like 5 years ago. And I was like, oh my gosh, we had even taken the photos and I couldn't do it. It was similar. It was kind of like crawling. I was like crawling on the ground. Just that same feeling. I'm just trying to shed all these barriers that I've put on myself, that society has put on me. And it was me trying to shed these. And it was a different series, different colors, different poses, but it was, he's like, this is a different one, but they're almost like cousins. And I rejected it before. I took the pictures and I wouldn't go through with it because it was too vulnerable. And I didn't want to paint a bunch of people because I was trying to not paint, you know, realism. And oh, it's just wild. This whole thing's been wild. And now that I look back at it, I think most of my ideas were just like this, because they do. They just come to me and I can see it and I can't unsee it. It's not like I'm sitting there going, what should I paint? I don't have that.
Yeah.
It just like pops into my head and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I immediately can like deconstruct that. Like, oh, well, I would have to draw this and then paint this color first, this color. And even like thinking about how I would teach that, I don't even know how I would do it. Cause the subject matter itself, it just pops into my head. Boop.
Yeah. I wonder if the change of color from the previous 5 years up till now is more of the muse collaboration with the person you're working for, you know, that would be maybe their choices of color, or, you know, that new element is coming from like a different place to make it mesh more, you know,
yeah,
with them or something like that. But it's interesting. Sometimes, yeah, ideas will follow you for a really long time until you arrive at a place, I guess, where you can kind of do them.
Yeah. You know? Well, and part of my process, it's weird now that I'm looking at it, like, how did I not see this before? Because a big part of it is before the image even pops in, I have words, like a paragraph of words, and I'll scribble those down. And I have this for all my big pieces in the last 2 years. I will scribble down as fast as I can. It's just like stream of consciousness, everything that this image means. Then the image kind of pops up right with it. And then I have a plan. And then when I do my little voiceovers, I know exactly what to say, because I pretty much read from the thing that I wrote before I even finished painting it. And it's just kind of like, I was like, this is totally my process. And it's words first, then the image, then I actually go about making it.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's just kind of funny. Like, obviously, it very obvious to me seems like this muse situation that people have always talked about, but I had never seen it that way. And now I'm like, well, what did I think was happening? Like, I'm not sure.
Well, I think, you know, from the very beginning, artists' brains are wired a certain way. So I think even from being children or whatever, you understand that, you know, you are an artist or whatever, you have a creative way of doing things. You're able to maybe draw a little better than some of your classmates or something like this. So you kind of take that on. And I think, because as coming up as a child, like if you're in a class of 30 kids or whatever, the odds that there's going to be like five artists in that class is pretty low. You know, you may be the only one. So I think maybe mentally we kind of start taking on this thing where we feel like, oh, this is me and this is how I'm different. And, you know that you are different from other people, and you kind of have to like accept that and work within that frame. When you meet other artists, it's a little easier because you can communicate and be like, oh, you're like me. And, you know, we can have these conversations that other people would probably be like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, because you're speaking the same language, but you're in the same type of isolation to some degree, which is why when artists get together and talk, they have so much fun, you know, mm-hmm. because they're finally speaking the same language. It's the same with musicians. If you put two musicians together and they start talking, they often are talking a language that we don't understand, because they could be talking about guitar types or, you know, this music that they love or this type of stuff. And you're just like, I don't know what you people are talking about.
Right.
But you leave them to it because you know that they know what they're talking about to each other and that they found somebody that's similar to them. So, you know, there's that situation. So maybe it's when the muse actually comes, sometimes it's hard to accept that it is something out of our realm influencing us, because we're always being influenced by everything and having our own ideas and things like that all the time. So I think it's probably difficult to immediately recognize it as a muse idea versus a regular creative idea. Because most artists I talk to, they say, my brain's running 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking of ideas. I don't have time to do all these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you don't really recognize it as a muse voice right away. You know, maybe you start to recognize it more when it becomes that tickle of where it's just not leaving you alone kind of thing. But I guess there has to be a point at which you recognize, oh, this is one of those ideas.
Yeah.
Let me slow down. Let me slow down my 100-mile-an-hour brain and listen a little deeper and go, okay, I'm being spoken to.
Mm-hmm.
now what do I do? And your process, like you said, is you write down words and then you go from there
and make a sketch.
And make a sketch.
Those are the two things, words and sketch, because then I can do everything from there. But you know, I think the difference is you can tell when it's that kind or when it's not that kind. She kind of talks about like staying up on your craft. And like, you know, when there's no muse around, like you still keep writing, you still keep painting, you still keep drawing. And I do that. And last year, it was in the middle of the year that I had my big muse painting, and I hadn't had one in so long. And so it was almost like, you know, it was surprising, because the other ones have been this backwards painting is what I've been calling it. So I've just been exploring or finishing up works that I did think about with my brain and just came up with, and nothing visited me. I didn't really have an idea. It's just kind of coming together, all very fun and totally valid. Not everything has to be muse driven, but she kind of has this idea that like those really good ideas visit the people who are here hard at work. Like those little muses are like looking around and like, oh, I see you in your studio every day. I see you working on your charcoal graphite drawings, like getting those skills, because it doesn't really want to come to you if you're not already at work. So if you're already at work, just mind your business, doing your stuff, working on your craft, writing your poems, you know, about flowers or whatever, it might just pop up. And I loved that idea because it kind of propels you to be caught at work. Like you're like, I'm going to be caught at work. I'm going to just keep working on my skills.
Well, I have two things that I want to say. Number one is, do you feel that after reading this book that clarified for you what was actually happening? Like, did it make you recognize it more so?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And then the other thing is, yeah, my dad, and I'm sure it's a common phrase or whatever, but I learned it from my dad, where the idea that luck is preparation meeting opportunity.
Oh yeah. I love that.
So that is what you're talking about as far as being caught at work.
Yes.
And that's what it means, is that you only are lucky because you were prepared when that opportunity presented itself. So a lot of people will be like, oh, you're so lucky because you got the chance to do this. It's like, I would have never gotten the chance to do this if I didn't have the ability to say yes.
Yes.
And that's something that's very, very important. I started the whole process of opening the gallery, not in the immediate, but it was this mind change to say yes.
Yeah.
When something comes out of the blue that strikes you a little odd and it seems a challenge or whatever, I can't even tell you how many artists, musicians, actors, all these type of people, especially artists, that will talk themselves out of an opportunity.
Right.
Because someone who comes to them and presents them with an opportunity and they immediately have to start making demands upon it or excuses as to why they can't do it. And then can't understand why those lucky opportunities don't present themselves. And basically, like at the very beginning of the process of this, I just changed my mind to say yes.
I love that.
Sometimes I say yes to things I know that once I say yes, there's going to be challenges.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be things I may have to learn, or I may have to, you know, whatever the case may be. But that the proper thing to say for the most part is yes.
Yeah.
Unless you've said yes so many times recently that you're really bogged down with there's physically is not enough time to do it. But if you are in a place where there is nothing on your plate and you have a certain skill set and somebody presents you with something, just say yes, because you're going to learn in the process, you know, of whatever it is. And that learning is going to lead to something else, you know, as you go. So
I love the idea of saying yes, because I think I didn't do it so much before, you know, especially with these big ideas, because I would get intimidated. But with this kind of new viewpoint, just a little shift in perspective, just not as intimidated, because like, will this be successful? I don't know. Will it be adored by many? I don't know. All I'm trying to do is represent the idea as it came to me the best I can. Just do it justice, you know, do the words and the image justice. And if I do that, then it's a different measure of success. And I like that.
Well, the cool thing was that you come into every project knowing that you have a certain skill level. Mm-hmm. So you're not intimidated by that anymore. Some artists are intimidated because they're like, well, I'm not to some level where I'm comfortable doing everything. And therefore I'm intimidated by this and I'm going to say no, or I'm going to make excuses or put barriers or demands or whatever up. So because I'm too intimidated and I'm not confident in my skill level. Right. So your skill level is important, because if you feel like, yeah, I can kind of tackle just about anything, you know, some harder than others, but yeah, I think I can make this work.
Right.
That confidence level is the first step to being able to say yes.
That's true.
But I think the difference for you is when you talk about being kind of really caught in the trap of perfectionism.
Yeah.
Because I think you always put it through that filter. If I'm going to do something that intimidates me or is going to challenge me, can I be perfect in it? And, you know, and if I can't be perfect in it, then I don't want to take that challenge. I don't want to do it, because if I fail in that perfectionism, I just can't handle that or whatever. I think nowadays you're more free to be like, hey, I'm going to give my best effort to it.
Yes.
And if it turns out great, that's great. And if it's not quite where I wanted to get to, oh, well.
Oh, wow.
And that's a huge growth level, you know, of leaving that cage of perfectionism and just saying, you know what, I'm going to give a stab at it and see where we get to.
Yeah, it's totally let me be more free. And the funny thing is, to keep myself from getting too nitty gritty and tight in here, I actually painted it with a wobbly brush. Like I had left it in the water too long. And so the top is
hilarious.
Like wiggling.
Yeah.
And I usually hate those brushes. And I just happened to pick it up and I was doing it and it was wobbling all over the place. And then I was like, oh, that's kind of nice.
That is hilarious.
Then I wasn't able to go in there and be like, because that's what hurts me with realism is I'll crunch way up and I'll get way in there and I'll make it just so, but it's actually physically painful. So I'm trying to build a better relationship with that. And I'm kind of excited that the universe has drawn me back to realism and like, okay, you learned a bunch of free things. Come back to your roots, but bring those things with you. Let's not do the stressful thing anymore. And I'm like, okay.
So that makes it all the more expansive because you didn't trade one for the other.
Yeah.
You can merge the two now and have twice the landscape, you know, to do things and to say yes and things. And I've seen that recently. I've seen some artists doing that, especially with poor medium type.
Yeah.
You know, they'll do a piece, they'll be doing poor medium. They like to do the poor mediums and something, but then they're just like, I don't know where I'm going with this. As far as, you know, I can make thousands and thousands of these, but it's just not really popping out for me or whatever. Yeah. So they'll bring in an element of realism.
Yes.
Working with an artist recently that did that, she made some poor mediums and did these gray backgrounds that were kind of all swirly with white, gray, and black. And she ended up adding some penguins to it.
Yeah, you were telling me that. It was just adorable
because it just looked like a couple of small penguins out on a big ice shelf that was kind of like swirling around and looked cold because it was gray and, you know, and all these things. And she would add sea turtles to blue ones and she would add different things. And it was just a perfect little pop to the background. And sometimes the background would even sort of work with the image, you know, of how it swirled in or swirled out of where the image was placed and things like that. So I've seen other artists add it as almost a surrealistic element. Cassandra Plock, who is an incredible woodworker now, when one of the first live painting that we did on our Twitch from the studio, she had come in and she painted on a very long skinny canvas. She painted this jellyfish with these long tendrils coming out at the end. But then the surrealistic element she added, the jellyfish was very soft looking, you know, and very flowy and soft and translucent and everything like this. But then she added this tiny little figure with all of this detail to their outfit. They were wearing goggles. They were wearing like a jacket. They were doing all this stuff. And they were skiing behind the attached to the jellyfish.
That's cool. I love surrealism, so yeah, I'm here it was for just it. This
cool surrealistic element, but it was very detailed, you know. It was using that realism factor and adding it to something that was not quite abstract, but it had the, you know, sort of the softness and the flow that abstract can have and everything. So it was funny.
Well, you know, it's the little game that I'm doing where I put the three prompts together. Like, there's no muse there. That's literally just pulling prompts. But I love that too, because it's just forcing me to paint things I've never painted. It's forcing me to keep my skills sharp and actually sharpening some of them.
When did you start doing that?
Just 3 weeks ago. We're just on our third one. We saw it on TikTok.
Do you feel that that also might be opening you up a little bit more to the muse? Because you kind of have to, in having three elements that don't necessarily connect to one another, and having to bring your brain, you know, to how to bring all of those elements together, somehow that makes me feel like it opens your mind up more to the muse of like accepting something you never would have thought of, kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's like what you were saying. It's that yes, every single time I've pulled these, I went, oh no, oh no. The one that I'm working on finishing right now was cities, beach, and drinks. And my brain was like, oh no. And I'm like, every time I'm like, why did I write these stupid prompts? You know, like, but then it turned out amazing.
I loved it. You showed it to me earlier. Yes. I just wanted to take a drink of that painting. It was so good.
It's kind of funny because it's exactly what you're saying. It's making me say yes. I'm looking at it and I go, okay. All right, somehow I'm going to put these three together. And I've been really rolling with surrealism. And I've been really rolling with kind of a graphic design, one large object in the center of the page instead of like anything sprawling. And that has just really forced my brain to make connections. I swear I can feel it. I can feel neurons like smashing together and wiring together. And they're like, oh, all right. From over here to over there. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No, I can imagine that that is a mind bender, so to speak, because
you have to
say yes. Me. And you have to think of some way to put it together in an aesthetically pleasing way.
Yeah.
Because you're melding them, you're merging them. You know, somebody else might be like, okay, I have city, beach, and drinks. They might just take a canvas and divide it into three sections and paint a city, a beach, and a drink. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No.
They might just be like, I'm just going to paint these three things, but keep them separate. You're actually figuring out a way to merge them, which I think takes a lot more creativity.
Oh yeah. It's stretching my brain. It's stretching my skills. And I'm hoping that it means I get visited by more muses, that they see me and they're going, oh yeah. Oh, you can do it all, huh?
You can do anything.
Wouldn't that be cool if I start getting surrealism muses? Like,
that would be cool. I guess to some degree, it just depends on, you know, it depends, because one of the things with a muse, especially if it's coming from, like in this situation, it's coming from an organization, it's coming from, you know, somebody that wants a particular thing for an event or for something that's going to be sort of, you know, publicly displayed, whatever the case may be. Yeah, those are good. But then sometimes you might be kind of like, I'm getting tired.
Yeah.
Because there's so many other things attached to it. It's not just, oh, here's the paintings and then I give them to you. It could be that, oh, now I have to go to an art opening. I have to do this. I have to, you know.
Yeah.
There could be a lot more things attached to it. And then you might find yourself being like, I want to get back to doing my own work, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, I've been pleased so far. It's been my experience that they've all been very polite. Like, the little inspirations wait their turn. Like, when I've said yes to this, I cleared my schedule for it and no other ideas are like coming up. Like, it's almost like they can sense that I'm like, no, I'm busy. Like, don't even talk to me right now. I'm not giving you the time of day. You know,
so this particular idea has been able to kind of eclipse everything else. So absolutely. It stays in your brain.
Absolutely. I eat, breathe, and drink this, which is why I wanted to talk about it today, because it's all I have. It's all I have right now. I'm knee deep in it. I wake up and try and get as much stuff for my day done, so then I can just carve out 4 hours straight to paint. I eat and then do a little bit more and then maybe edit some videos and fall asleep and then do it again, you know, and we're just, every single day is the same, but I'm loving it in a really weird way.
Well, I think we had talked before when we were talking about deadlines or you know, I said, is it that you crave like kind of like the all-nighter thing, like being able to clear your plate and be able to do the all-nighter and just really grind on a project, you know, to having nothing else going on? And you said, yeah, I kind of love that sometimes.
Yeah.
And you really haven't had the opportunity to do that. It, you know, in the process of running a family, it's hard to do like all nighters and things like that. It doesn't really give you that option, but this project sounds like it's as close as it can get to sort of filling that square, you know?
Yes. If I didn't have small children, I would be painting eight to 10 hours a day, like I used to when I would have this happen, but I'm trying to find that sweet middle ground. Well, and that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. She talks about that extensively, about not letting that muse burn you out. Like,
yes.
Give it its your attention. Tell it like, I hear you. I've written you down. I've cleared my plate and I'm working on you, but I'm also going to sleep and eat and rest. And so I've been like, you know, carving out 4 hours a day when you have three small children is a pretty big achievement.
Yes.
And I'm doing it, but I'm also like, the reason I'm working so hard is to try and avoid the all-nighters. I'm trying to really build a healthy relationship with the muse. We don't have to beat each other up. We can work together. It's a good idea. I'll do your idea.
I think that's really good, because the reality is, when you talk about going back in history, there have been people that literally have, you know, worked themselves to death or really put a very hard detriment on their health because of being caught up in the, you know, the spell of a muse and an idea and needing to work and work and work and work and work and work to get it done, and haven't slept and haven't eaten and haven't, you know, all of those things.
Right.
Because they're so driven to get this idea done. And I guess just really never had that conversation with the muse to say, sorry, I'm a human.
Yes.
And I need certain things to survive. And I need to, you know, take care of myself while I'm doing your work, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, well, she really spoke out against the romanticized artist that suffers for their art, and she like rails against it, and I needed it, because when I was in those moments, I would be like, I'm an artist, you know, and I would hold myself to a pretty low standard of being on multiple levels. And she was like, that's crap. You're just not being responsible, and that's crap. And I loved that, and like made it really ugly in my eyes. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Gosh. And then she's like, look, if you take good care of yourself and you make good relationships with these muses, then you can do so much more work because you didn't die. And I was like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. But at the same time, there is a romanticism to it, you know, to some degree. And I can understand you can put it in a light that makes it ugly. And obviously, in the long scheme of things, it's not healthy. But it's like anything else. It doesn't feel so bad to be consumed by something, you know, once in a while.
Yeah.
There is a good feeling of that for creative people to be consumed, because it is what you're wired for, whatever it is, that creativity, you know. I think of it as well, like a musician that might work, you know, for hours and hours on end on a song or an album or something like that. To some degree, that's almost what you're living for sometimes. It's almost like a drug type of thing. You know?
It is a drug.
Yeah. So, you know, not
it's
to
a little
say
like falling in love where you just are.
That's
infatuated.
Also what I was thinking about is that it's like that infatuation stage, you know, where you just can't get enough of each other. And you feel that way with that project. It's like, I just want to be immersed in this. And this is where I feel most alive. But of course, you know, that is one of the things you have to keep in the back of your mind. Look, you know, you gotta have some logic here and some sense of whatever, but I think I would put that in more as a cautionary tale than something that's railing so hard against it.
I'm glad I needed her to rail against it. I needed it because like how many wonderful artists have we lost to drug addictions, partly because they thought it was going to make them better artists. They thought suffering for their art was going to make them better. Yeah. Like, I'm glad she railed against it. I agree with you.
And it does allow, as an artist, you want to have, I think, you know, enough time to create as much as you possibly can. And the only way you're going to do that is to live longer, you know, because there's only so much time. I do agree with all of that, but I also want to just acknowledge it does feel great to be consumed by a project. You know,
well, this is kind of a fun experience. The last one I did was a little destabilizing because it was my first time encountering that with better mental health. And it was the therapy out loud. There was something to be healed here. And I painted it out and I wrote it out, but I felt myself coming off the rails and I didn't like it very much. I managed to keep on the rails just by like my little bits of my fingertips. Like, I don't know how, just so close. In fact, I still haven't released any of that footage or the voiceover. Cause it was so destabilizing. I told people around me, like, I'm destabilized. And they're like, why? I'm like, this painting, this thing that it was very healing and I'm glad that it happened. So this is my first time experiencing that
in a controlled way
with good mental health, with still good feelings,
good
boundaries. And so it's kind of exciting for me that you can make good art while sober, you can make good art while having good mental health, while having good rest. You can still be kind of consumed and in love and really immerse yourself while still taking such good care of yourself. I didn't know that was possible.
Wow.
No one ever told me that was possible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always presented as an either or, you know,
yeah,
in movies or stories, you know, of people or whatever. It's never presented as, you know, this person was consumed by an idea, but took really good care of themselves. You know?
I know I'm throwing my whole self in during the day and doing therapy out loud, which is, you know, emotionally exhausting while I'm doing this, working through my feelings of this subject, which are vast, and then still reading to my kids every night and just feeling great. Like, I'm here for
it. Awesome. Like, that's awesome. So is it something that you feel like you can paint?
This is different too, because before I would burn out so badly. And in fact, that last one, I did have some burnout after. We'll see, because it's such a marathon. If I need to take a break after, I will, but I'm hopeful that this is a better system, a better relationship. I've put up a lot of boundaries and I'm still doing my maintenance work on my life, which was hard. This morning, I didn't want to go to yoga. I wanted to either sleep or just get started. And I was like, no, I gotta keep the body moving so that I can keep doing this. I want to keep doing this. So it's a marathon, yeah, not a sprint. You know, if this is 2-week intensive project, and if I let myself get all crunched up, I'll get a migraine and then, yeah, I'll be 3 days out, you know? So.
Yeah. Your body recognized that, hey, you are using me pretty hard. So you need to go stretch everything out and see, yeah, if you don't get all kinked up and everything. Like this. I think it was funny because you had told me that you didn't really want to go to yoga and your body just went anyway.
My body went, which I think was really hilarious. I've gotten quite a good system down. And so my brain was fully, we're going back to sleep. And then my body just got up and went and drove and got there. And I was like, the whole time I was like, really, we're so tired and we have work to do. And it kind of fussed the entire time I did yoga, just whined, is back there just like, why?
But some part of you took over.
Yeah, this like automatic, it was like riding a bike. My body, yeah, was like, Thursday yoga, go. I'm like, okay,
that is so cool,
let's do it.
That is so cool.
That's the beauty of habits, is they will just carry you.
Yes, that was something at the beginning of this year. I had committed to walking for 30 minutes every day in the morning, and I had to make sure that it was the morning, because although I will say I have not done it, you know, very much at all this week, which is another reason why I was like, no, Thursday is I'm off, you know, because I've got to get back on track with some of the things that I, you know, normally, yeah, do. And but that's the same thing, as I told myself, it has to be in the morning. It has to be before you start your day, because you have to be half asleep so that you just go in automatic mode. You, yes, get out of bed and you walk out that door,
yes,
and you're already there and 30 minutes is gone. And then you're back before you need to do it before you can start rationalizing.
Exactly.
Because by the time you get completely awake, the rationalization comes on. You know, I don't need to do it today because fill in the blank.
Oh my gosh.
You know? And so you have to just do it so that it's done before you even can think about the reason why you're not doing it. So that's, you know, I said, it's gotta be in the morning and it's gotta happen then.
I love that. Why are our brains so good at coming up with excuses? Like you could tell me a problem and I could give you 50 excuses, like off the top of my head, of why you shouldn't, you know, if you asked me, you were like, I need some excuses for work or something, I'd be like, oh, I got them. Here they are. Boop, boop, boop,
that's
boop,
funny. Yeah. I don't know. Because most of the time that we have those excuses and we have those rationalizations, it's not to our benefit.
No. Isn't that funny? Like, could you make some good excuses about like why I should go to yoga? Like,
yeah, that's a different kind of muse. It's almost like the devil on your shoulder.
You know,
that always has that excuse for the things that are never going to be to your benefit. You know,
just wants me to be really lazy. Just like lay down, give up, do nothing. And I'm like, what is in here that just wants to lay down so bad? And where were you when I was a little kid and didn't want to take naps? Like,
right.
The timing of all this is so
bad. Yeah, that's funny. I don't know. That's a little devil. I'm going to have to really realize that that's kind of a real thing. I realized it in the fact that I made the commitment for the morning, because I said, you know, by the time I wake up and my brain is fully functional, we'll find more excuses not to do it than to do it. So I recognize at least that much.
I have a little question for you.
Okay.
Because you're the kind of person that sees art everywhere. Oh, and if you guys haven't seen yet, Zill put up a little bit of the shopping carts, and she's going to be doing more shopping carts, because the shopping carts talk to her. What's your handle on Instagram?
Yes. Kim inspired me when we did our last episode on what weird things are you into. And I talked about how I loved photographing shopping carts. So I thought, well, let's just go with this. And I put up an Instagram. It's called All Things Shopping Cart. I wanted to tie it into our stuff. You know, well, actually I tried shopping cart art was taken, you know, different ones that I was wanting to take. And so I thought, well, one thing that would kind of keep it all in the wheelhouse would be All Things Shopping Cart.
Yeah.
So you can find that on Instagram at All Things Shopping Cart. And I went out there and now I'm finding my people. I'm finding I'm not alone in my weird stuff at all, that there's people worldwide that take pictures of shopping carts.
I love this. This is so niche. This is so like,
there's actually a hashtag, shopping carts of Instagram.
I'm going to look it up right now. But it, you know, this kind of reminds me, it sounds like you're saying yes to, you are kind of that conduit. You say yes a lot. You look around and little things pop out to you and they're like, I'm art. And you're like, yes, I see you. Yes.
And in this way, I guess this is one of my muses. This is the shopping cart muse. And it is a verifiable muse at this point, because I'm not the only one affected by it. Like I said, now that I'm going out there and doing this, I had several people come and follow the first day, and they as well have shopping cart photos in their pictures. It may not be 100% of theirs, but it's mixed in. And I found like a total soulmate out there. There's a guy in Warsaw, Poland, that's doing this called Wild Cart World. And
y'all look at shopping carts of Instagram hashtag. This is incredible.
I'll bet.
11,000 posts. These are fantastic. And they remind me just of yours, where they have personalities. They're like,
yes,
out here. There's one like lying down, looks very tired.
Yes. There was one I thought was so cute. I think it's on the Wild Cards World. It looked like a pregnant shopping cart, because it was a shopping cart with a small shopping basket inside it.
Oh, I love this. Well, my question for you then, you already have some experience with saying yes and, you know, letting yourself, are you going to let yourself be a conduit for more of these kind of inspirations?
Yes. Because the one thing is, I feel like it's the feeling that you get, you know. It's odds of like when I took my first kind of photo shoot recently of the pictures that I'm going to be sharing on there, it was funny because I don't normally take the pictures in a parking lot of a place that has shopping carts, because I think that's kind of cheating. It's like, they're obviously here.
Yeah.
But what was weird, what was catching my attention was this was a big Target parking lot. And what was catching my attention is it looked like a lot of the photos that I took made it look like the shopping carts were trying to escape. Because they were far on the edge of the parking lot. They were trying to hide behind the building. You know, they were interacting with other shopping carts nearby, you know, different things like this, or they were kind of really posing in these neat ways. So I was like, I can't resist. So I'm standing there taking all these different photos, and I'm realizing but hardly at all how bizarre it is that this woman is standing in the parking lot, like taking pictures of the shopping carts, you know, and I'm getting annoyed because like some car wants to get by or something. Like, I'm working like, here.
I'm working. I am in the middle of my art.
You know, and they're how thinking, she's nuts. You know, what is she taking a picture of? And I thought, all the better that I look like a complete nut job out
here. They probably thought you were an influencer, you know?
Something, but you know, it's like, I finally, you inspired me, Kim. You are my muse for the shopping carts because you finally inspired me to totally own it and go out there and say, yeah, she is the artist that does that shopping cart thing. And I'm totally owning it. There will be mugs. There will be merch.
Oh, I'm here for it. Art
prints of these things.
And I look at them differently now. I'm so appreciative of this. And they have given me such a joy all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
How's Cactus Kitten? And
I'm so glad because I'm finding my people out there. I'm not the only one that sees this. This is an honest to goodness. You want to talk about a muse? This is an honest to goodness muse.
Yes.
Because it's not just affecting me. It's affecting all these other people. Giving life and personality to an inanimate object that's very close to our heart because it's essential to the American way of life. You know? So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's bringing me a lot of joy. And I'm so much more motivated to keep up that Instagram and to feed in, you know, get the pictures to feed it in and post every day and, you know, and go and check it and stuff like that. So it's, yeah.
I am feeling you on my end. I feel you almost like ramping up. Like I've noticed, like since we've started this whole thing, you've just started like you're at first it was like a slow and now you're like, you're back in the communion with all of these inspiration ideas. Cause some of your old ideas have come back. They're like red paintings are like, paint me. Cactus Kitten is like, draw me. Shopping carts are like, look at me. Like you definitely have muses.
Yes.
Definitely do.
Yeah.
You're ramping up. Like you've been really like,
I'm ramping up. And it's been funny because it's one of these things where it's like, it's kind of like, you never know how things are going to change or whatever. We're doing this podcast because I started my father's podcast.
Right.
I started my father's podcast because he was having some health issues and it was very dire. And I thought if I don't start this podcast and I don't get these stories, I may never get these stories. And so it was very dire, but what it did was it ended up forcing me into a situation where I had to really kind of dive deep into, I'm doing his podcast and I had to learn a lot of things to do it.
Yeah.
But again, that's still my father's stories. It's not mine. So immediately what I wanted to tack on was, okay, if I'm already doing this podcast and I've already got to learn all these things to do it, let's go ahead and add on the part that's me as well. And that was about taking the All Things Art podcast seriously. Cause I've actually had this name and podcast, thank goodness, since 2018.
Yeah.
But I hadn't dug in yet. And just really having to commit to doing the podcast for him and commit to the time and do all that type of stuff has made me commit to so many things in my life that's really important. And it's really been a digging in.
Yeah.
And then saying, okay, well, now we're here, but this is not connected to things that are foundation. This is really going off into the wilderness and without much, you know, support, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I have been cramming the two things together.
Yeah.
For the last 6 months or so. And yeah, I think there's finally getting to be some traction with, you know, bringing everything together that's going to be able to build that foundation. And I know in the end, it's going to do all the more to support the creative life.
Yeah. Well, I see you sparked again in like three different ways. You want to reignite some old things. And I want to hear from you too in the future, since you've been saying yes, if any new ones come, if any new ones are like, paint me. You know, pay attention to me. I think
muses at the moment, just like you're talking about being in your studio and working, and then the muse sees you and says, yeah, okay, I think, you know, I can go ahead and visit her and give her some projects and stuff like this because she's well capable. I think most of my muses right now are probably looking at me going, she got way too much shit on her plate.
You are busy.
We need to sit back and wait a while. But the busyness is not the busyness is all constructive because it is all laying the foundation. So I am curious to see what's going to happen once the foundation gets finished and in place, what things happen. Because there's, I mean, I'm actually getting tingles right now. I'm feeling like there is a lot of things that can come down the pike.
I did too.
Foundation is laid.
I did too. Because I thought if you come back to Twitch regularly, work on your red paintings, just because it's an itch you have to scratch, I guarantee you some muse is going to see you at work, catch you at work and be like, hey, I got something for you.
Yeah, no, I see a lot of possibilities opening up. And so, and I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited about where we're going to be going. By the way, since we're recording this now, and I've got a lot of editing and releasing of episodes to do to get caught up, which is on the board, go to allthingsartpodcast.com.
Yes.
By the time you hear this and get there, there will be a ton of stuff up on that. We are going to have a centralized location associated with this podcast where you can go to see images of things that we're talking about. Kim's artwork will be up there.
Yes.
All the links for everything will be there. Anything we discuss on the podcast will be there for you to find it and have it as a resource. So we really want to make that a hub for people to go to and be able to do that. And the last few episodes, you've heard me say repeatedly, I don't have anything to point you to. I don't have anything to promote in that form. But so we've decided to go ahead and just make a centralized website that's associated with a podcast. And that way we can put everything that we're doing, all the projects that we're working on, stuff like this, in one place that is associated with a podcast. And you can go there and find everything.
Will you have something where people can drop things to us too? Because I've asked
several times. Yeah, I think we should put a form in there for people if they want to share, or some sort of email button or something so that people can start sending us ideas or
their weird art, their
whatever they want to do.
All the stuff that we've been asking for, like send it along.
We can share it or talk about it and start a process of being able to kind of communicate back and forth in that way. We can definitely put it in that space. So yeah, stuff like that is definitely coming together, you know, making it more in focus.
I hear you because there's something to be said. And this book just rocked my face, but the whole idea of clearing the plate. And so you've been working hard on like setting up things that can support you, clearing some tasks so that you have that space to do it. And so I'm excited. I know for you, when you were doing Twitch, you liked it really forced you to get in the studio and work.
Yeah. The other thing too, with your website, I know it was going kind of wonky on you a little bit ago. Are you able to put on your website like a section where people can find your painting videos and YouTubes and all that type of stuff as well?
I bet so. I need to get on my IT guy. My partner's an IT guy and I'll tell him to add some videos and links. Yeah,
because I thought, you know, since you said everything had gone wonky to begin with, and you're probably going to have to go in there and have him tweak some stuff anyway, you maybe just add a sidebar or something like that with some YouTube channel stuff and
that's a good idea. You're
kind of doing online for people to be able to find it a little bit easier at kindnessmatterstudio.com.
Yes, that's the best place to go right now if you want to order prints. There's a few originals up there, but they do sell fast. So originals are, it's one of those things, you know, it'd be great to make a new original every day, but it's just not, I would have to paint 10 hours a day. And as we discussed, I am also going to eat and sleep, y'all. So
yes,
but I take commissions too, but even those are filling up. So it's one of those things, like, I love that. I love it when your book starts to fill up. And someone
champagne
goes,
problems, my friend.
Champagne problems. Someone says, you know, I'm getting a tattoo and my tattoo artist can't have me until September. I'm scheduled in September. And part of me kind of loves that. Like, I love that it. I found someone who's like, yes, I can do this. I'm so excited. I've scheduled you for September. Like,
because you know you're getting work done by somebody who's highly in demand.
Highly in demand. It feels good, right? You're like, oh.
Well, not to like, you know, not to bring business into it, but you know, when you start getting really booked, it's an indication to raise your prices.
Yes, I have on some of those originals.
So for those of you that want to own an original, you
might. That's true.
Now
That's true. I've been watching my, there's an artist that I love. For one, she looks exactly like my mother.
Wow.
It's wild. So I just have this weird connection with her. Her name's Talia Stanton. Fantastic artist. I've been watching the last 2 years. Her original prices were, they were last year, 3,000 or 4,000. Her latest one she just posted today or like this week was 16,000.
Yeah.
So same, like, oh, the days of you being able to afford that painting, you got to get in there.
Yeah.
That's within 2 years.
Yeah. No, it doesn't take long. That's what my, I mentioned Cassandra Plock earlier today about her painting, her surrealistic painting and stuff like this, but she went into the medium of woodworking and she is amazing. And she started just showing pictures of her work. And people were approaching her and saying, oh, can you make me this? Or I want one of those too, or whatever. And she was charging a certain amount for them. And then she hooked up with this woodworking group and that teaches classes and things like this. And she just wanted to go in and kind of poke around, you know, learn some additional things. And the instructor approached her and said something about, well, do you want to teach classes? Do you want to do this? And he was the, you know, he's the master of the school or whatever, and really kind of started saying, hey, do you want to teach? You want to do this? And she was kind of taken aback a little bit. It's like, why are you talking to me? I'm brand new. And this is the other. And I said, well, Cassandra, it's because the quality of your work is so amazing. You know, he's seeing such potential and he's seeing, you know, you really have it. This is your medium and stuff. And then same thing. She was so busy because I said, well, do you want to bring some stuff out to the market? You know, or even like, do you want to do a flip book for commissions, you know, just yeah. have a book with what you're doing. And she's like, well, yeah, I could do that. She goes, but I can't, I don't have any inventory, you know, because everything I make is a commission and it's gone. And I only have, you know, like it takes me a certain amount of time to do it. So I might be doing one a month or whatever. It takes me this time, but then it's gone or whatever. And I said, same thing. I'm like, champagne problems, my friend, you need to raise your prices so that you have, you know, that you can work on one a month if you want, but it's going to, you know, it's going to support you for that month kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's an indicator.
Yeah.
Artists, if you're out there and you're book solid, raise your prices.
Yes.
Because it's only going to help you earn enough income to do this more and more full time if you're not, you know, or be able to pick and choose your projects.
It's funny that I'm excited about commissions after all of that whining. I'm so embarrassed. I did so much whining, but now I see it.
I don't feel this is a commission though. I feel like this is more of a collaboration.
Yeah. For one, she has no idea what I'm making. She was just
exactly.
Like,
she's not asking for anything or expecting anything. And she's,
but the next one is a straight commission. Work. The one that is coming right after it. But I'm already like, I think, you know what it is? It's this game I'm playing. It's a sketchbook game of I'm starting to get better at it. So if someone's like, I need you to paint me a mermaid inside of a, I don't know, golf course, I'd be like, okay.
Gotcha.
You know, gotcha. Like,
is that all you got?
The resistance is just kind of melting away.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just like, okay, yeah, that's going to teach me something. I'm going to learn something from it. Is it going to be a masterpiece? I don't know. Whatever. I'm going to learn something. It'll help me pay my bills. Woo-hoo. Like,
yep. And then eventually, yeah, that's not even going to be an issue as far as you'll be way ahead of the game.
I know it. So. All that whining though. I'm still just a little deeply embarrassed.
I don't think you have anything to be embarrassed about. Commissions can be very challenging and they can hurt. They can hurt, you know, in the level of stuff they're trying to get out of you. And how difficult they are. It's kind of a painful learning process and stuff like that sometimes. And sometimes one of the hardest things about commissions sometimes is that you're a creative person that can visualize stuff and everything like this, but you're often working with somebody that can't. And they have a more vague idea of what it is that they want. And they might be able to visualize it in their head, but sometimes what they're visualizing isn't practical. You know, or it's not really going to work when it comes out the right way. And on top of that, they don't have the language to communicate what is in their head.
Yes.
So sometimes it's really, commissions can be really, really hard.
That's what it is. That was really what I was struggling with, was the communication of a very vague concept heavy idea with almost no visual parts to it.
And I've heard many artists talk about when they get commissions that ultimately the client is going to have a very specific idea in their head. They don't know what it is, so to speak. It's kind of like, well, when I see it, I'll say yay or nay.
Yeah.
And they don't understand sometimes how much work goes into producing something from scratch that, you know, you're going to say yay or nay on so easily. It's like, no, it's not that simple just to say, no, that doesn't work for me. Do it again.
Right.
No, it's not, you know, in this microwave world, it's not as easy as you think to just do that. So you have to
Right. Get
a clear idea of what you want from me to begin with, or you're going to have to be willing to pay for all these redos because you can't communicate to me up front what it is you're looking for. So yeah, commissions can be a real tug of war sometimes with a client. And sometimes they will just give up, so to speak,
yeah,
where they say, you know, I don't know, you're the artist, you
right.
come up with the idea. And it's like, well, if you're really going to give me carte blanche to come up with the idea, you have to understand on the other end, I want you to say yes to my idea when I bring it to you.
Yeah.
And not be prepared to be like, well, you're the artist, I'm giving you all this leeway to come up with it and be creative and everything like that. And then when you bring it to them, they're like, no, that isn't anything like what I wanted. Well, if you knew what you wanted, why didn't you tell me in the beginning?
Exactly.
What you wanted. You know, you told me you don't know because you're not the artist. So yeah, you can get almost murderous when it comes to dealing with commissions sometimes. So yeah, there's plenty of room for whining.
Good.
Because the other side of that coin is commissions have you in an interesting position as an artist, because you've had to develop a certain amount of skills to be able to open the door to commissions.
Yeah.
Yet having to do commissions sometimes feels a little bit like being, you know, indentured to these people, because you have not reached a level as an artist yet to where you can pick and choose what you paint and sell and so forth and so on. So you still are having to, you know, take commissions from people in order to make a living as an artist. And so it automatically kind of puts you in an adversarial position, because you're only there for the money kind of thing. And you don't really want to be there to begin with. Your mind and your brain and your skills want to just take off like wild horses and just do whatever the hell you want and be compensated for that. But it's kind of like I would imagine back in the day, hundreds of years ago, or throughout history, it has been the same indenturedness when you're dealing with an artist that had a patron.
Yes. Yes.
You know, you had somebody to pay your bills and buy you supplies and put a roof over your head and food in your mouth and stuff like this, so you could make a living as an artist. But very rarely were you allowed to paint whatever the hell you felt like painting.
Right.
You had to have a patron. You had to have that restriction, and commissions are just the modern day version of that. Speaking of that, I was trying to remember what else I wanted to touch upon.
Oh yeah.
You had mentioned when we started the process of talking about what we were going to talk about today, that you said it seems like the muse was an element that was more prevalent in ancient times, hundreds of years ago, whatever. Doesn't seem to be as prevalent in modern times. You don't hear a lot of artists talking about the muse in modern times.
Yeah.
And one of the things that popped into my head is, I wonder if it's because nowadays, and it has been for, you know, not too long, but in my lifetime or whatever, I wonder if it's the level of noise that is around us that it makes it more difficult to hear the voice of the muse. Because you have to understand, we have hot and cold running inspiration, if you want to call it that, from all sorts of media sources, television, movies, music. That's all hot and cold running. You know, you just push a button and you've got any one of those things. And now you add in the internet as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're barraged by images and music and videos and things like this that are constantly giving you some inspiration. You know, when you see stuff, you might be like, oh, I could do this or I could do that. Whereas, you know, a couple hundred years ago, when you didn't have any of those things, it would have been much easier to notice and hear the voice of something like that bothering you, you know, because you wouldn't have had any other distractions, really.
That's true. Well, I was kind of wondering if I think people are still getting it, But maybe we're so ego heavy, you know, that we want to take all the credit. Like, cause that's, I think, where I was coming from. I was like, mm-hmm. I made this, I had this idea. It's my idea. I had almost like a possessive quality to it. You know what helped break this? This is so bizarre. Having that painting stolen.
Really?
That was one of my most brain heavy, literally is a painting of a brain, but I thought and thought about that. I had this, you know, and I spent 12 years agonizing over it. It was with me through some of my darkest periods of my life. Definitely like classic artist syndrome painting of like suffering for my art and it being stolen. And then me processing it here with you guys and on TikTok and everything, I feel really good about it. I'm not sad about it anymore. And in fact, I feel a little freer. Like that wasn't really my painting anyways. That was some other idea. I painted it well, and it's gone now, and I let it go. And I kind of don't want to.
We talked a little bit about that after we talked about it. And yeah. I asked you the question, how would you feel if you get a phone call tomorrow and it's back, you know, and we both decided it felt like someone had died and you had already mourned the process, and then yeah. they show up on your doorstep and it would almost be bizarre. Like you you'd be like, do I want you back? I'm like, like I've moved on, you know,
it would be weird. I wouldn't know what to do with it.
So I wonder too, cause we talked a lot about all the energy of that painting.
It had
wrapped up in that. Now it would have been nice if it just was sold.
Yes. But it was almost,
that would have been the process, but I guess it wouldn't have put you through the emotional ringer that it did. And through the process of going through that emotional ringer, you know, maybe some things changed or some energy was removed from you in a different way.
Yeah.
That was more healing than just selling it.
Exactly. Cause when I sell it, I usually have this wonderful relationship with the collectors. They send me pictures, you know, it's this one. And I was grieving that as well, but it's been kind of, my brain is getting better at just like letting it go. I'm just letting it go. And so I almost don't want to go back to that. Like, this is my idea, my painting, that kind of like ego heaviness.
Yeah.
I'm liking this lighter side of like, I don't know, but I'm wondering if maybe that's why we don't talk about our inspiration and muses so much, because we are so ego driven, you know, we're about building our own brand and building this. And
I think that's the part of the resistance, like I said, that I had was that, you know, I didn't want to work with the muse because I was like, God damn it. I had an idea for this. I had an idea for what I wanted to do on this canvas. And I was protecting that idea. I'm like, I want to do my idea. I don't care what you want.
My idea.
So, yeah, maybe so. You know, that we decide that, you know, all ideas that go on the canvas have to be our ideas that we're bringing to life, and that we don't have that self-actualization yet to be like, okay, yeah, cool, whatever, we'll work together, you know, and do something. But I think that too is like a self-actualization point, where every piece that you're doing, you're trying to find your style, you're trying to make your mark, you're trying to create your brand, you're trying to put something out there that says something about you, which again is ego driven, but that you don't want to do some side piece that doesn't make any sense in your grand scheme of things, you know.
No grand scheme of things. I paint everything and anything in all styles right now.
Right. And that's the thing is, I think that's maybe where we need to reach as artists, is that I know a lot of artists that are going through it, you know, they go through it like, what the F am I painting?
Yeah.
You know, do I paint animals? Do I paint this? Do I paint abstracts? Do I make jewelry? What do I do? You know, like, who am I? As an artist, I'm all over the map. I'm too eclectic. I don't have a voice. I don't have a thing. And I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that ego-driven thing is more about being taught that you are a brand, that the only thing that you can do is your style. And that's the only thing that's ever going to get you into a gallery or get you recognized. Whereas if we'd have gone back a few hundred years ago, we'd have been working as an artisan. And yeah, you might have been somebody who made tables or made handbags or made whatever to make a living, but you probably would be open to everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to just let myself be as free as possible. That's my thing right now. And the funny part is, a bunch of my elements have come together in this piece. I've got ribbons on here, which is just the ribbon paintings I was doing. Ribbons have come back, and people have come back. And I'm like, oh, it's like a reunion. It's like a family reunion.
The ribbon people reunion.
Yeah. I've never done anything like this, but somehow it feels familiar. Cause I'm like parts of it are exactly the same process that I've done before.
Well, those are your elements then. Those You're are bringing my your elements.
My golly, I'm getting a style.
I'm getting some elements. That's awesome. Elements make a style.
It does.
You know,
that's we're going to do a whole thing about that. I just wrote it down. We're going to do a whole different episode
on elements
and on finding your style.
That's a good idea.
It's going to be fun.
That's a good idea. I think a lot of artists don't sit down and think about what is my style. What they don't realize is a lot of times they're doing things that create their style. They just don't realize that what they do, other artists don't do, you know? So, well, I think we ran the gamut.
We did. We did.
Our muses. So people, listen to your muses.
But build a healthy relationship with them. Be kind to yourself.
Yes. Even if it's not that fun.
Don't let them bully you around, you know? You be nice to yourself.
Yes. That is Kim's message. Kindness matters. Be kind to yourself first.
Yes.
Because you can't be good for anybody. Yeah, you can't be good for anybody unless you're kind to yourself first.
True.
And I agree with it, even though I'm teasing you.
I love it.
And it's better to burn out.
Oh, she's over here like, come on, just get consumed by it. I'm like, I am consumed by it. Also being nice to myself
during my waking hours.
And then I sleep a solid sleep.
And when we both sat down here going, we're so tired.
But now I'm all hopped up and energized on podcast energy. So
cool. Yes. I was looking forward to our podcast this week.
Well, thank y'all for listening to us.
Yes. And thank you for joining us. Thank you we are seeing fantastic growth with the podcast. We're seeing people coming back and listening to the episodes, and we really appreciate that. We appreciate you following us, and we appreciate you supporting the podcast. It's only going to get bigger and better and going all over the place and being entertaining for you. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next episode. Bye.